in fact, when they had lost their house and business, and yeah. And you know, if you think about having to have your house gutted and then rebuilt,
yeah.
And there's so much demand and so few people to do it, and all these scam artists came to town, and
sure.
So they were all coming out marketing themselves and yeah. Making all kinds of promises. And it's just been an incredibly horrible experience in a lot of ways, most ways. But the individual actions we've seen, the people that have come together too, and the groups that have formed since Katrina have really inspired us. I mean, mm-hmm. Bev and I are, you know, we've been doing, basically, we've been, when we're awake, we're doing something about
sure, yeah.
Bringing the city back, you know. It's almost 5 years, you know, 4.5 years of this, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
And it's been a...
So tell me about your experience of the storm itself and the immediate aftermath.
We had this group of friends, and we've been going to each other's houses, and some of them are fairly wealthy, and mm-hmm. going to each other's houses and having all these parties. And one of us was supposed to have a party on the Saturday night before Katrina in New Orleans, and spend all day Friday preparing for it. And there are like a dozen of us. And so she had everything prepared, and then Saturday morning we decided we had to evacuate. So basically we all kind of said, oh, well, why don't we have the party up in Alexandria, Louisiana?
Okay.
There's this one couple that's part of this group the family has a big plantation up there with this great house on it. And so we all went up there, and there were like 28 of us in this big plantation house and outlying houses. And it was the first time we've evacuated for a hurricane since we moved here in 1972. It's just not, hurricanes really haven't been much of a threat to us. And this one it looked like it might be the big one, because we heard 150 miles an hour winds, and it was coming toward New Orleans, and so we really got concerned about it, and decided to evacuate. But we basically, our attitude was, well, we'll just take all the fixings for the party, and we'll have the party up in Alexandria.
Yeah, and then we'll come
and,
back.
And so we went up, and, you know, Saturday night we had the party, and Sunday was fine, and then Monday the hurricane hit, and it was bad, but the reports were that there were some trees down in New Orleans, and there was one dead reported, mm-hmm. and the hurricane passed, and the wind died down, and we thought it was over. And friends that stayed in town in my neighborhood that were out Monday morning or Tuesday morning picking up branches and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I got up Tuesday morning. I was the first one up in Alexandria, turned on the television, and the levees had broken. And the city was flooding, and we just sat there agape for most of that week, just amazed. Two members of our party were married to physicians that were in hospitals in New Orleans. One at Charity Hospital and one at East Jefferson Hospital, and we kept hearing reports back from them all week long. They were able to get telephones, and the charity particularly was downtown and was flooded, and the physician in that hospital, her husband and three kids were up with us, but she was in Charity Hospital. And finally, Friday night, she took a patient up to the roof to be evacuated, and the patient needed someone to go with them, and so she had to fly out on the helicopter and left her purse and everything. So she got out Friday night. The other doc stayed in town. He stayed through the whole thing. But you can imagine the trauma we had. I mean, just not knowing about our houses and seeing all this devastation and all the crime being reported and everything.
Yeah.
So it was really.
So how far out is this, Alexandria? How far out were you?
We were up in central Louisiana. It's okay. Probably 200 and some miles.
Oh, okay.
We had light wind. It wasn't scary. Yeah, it wasn't scary at all. We didn't lose electricity, and
okay.
You know, we were fine.
Yeah.
And another physician, friend of mine, or neighbor, We stayed in Alexandria for a week, and then the following week, a friend of mine, a neighbor, who was a doc, was coming back into New Orleans, and so I was able to come in with him. And another physician, they dropped me off at my house, and I was the only one in my neighborhood. It was, we live up near Tulane University in the area. We had water in our street, but it didn't come up over the curb, so we were fine. But I was the only one in my neighborhood. It was really eerie, all these helicopters flying over. The neighborhood was totally empty. I started loading my computer and some other things in my truck, and as I was doing that, I was a little anxious, and so I was a military policeman in the 60s, and so I strapped my pistol on, and been hearing all these stories of violence and everything. And while I was loading my truck, the airborne came through in a Humvee with their red berets and all armed and everything. Yeah. I really felt good. It felt good to see them. And by the time I left that afternoon, the whole neighborhood had filled up with soldiers. There were soldiers everywhere with rifles walking down the streets. And so I walked around, took pictures of my neighbors' houses. When I got back to Alexandria, I got on the computer and sent pictures of my neighbors' houses, so they could see what they did. There wasn't much damage done to them and everything, to kind of give them some relief. We had no idea what had happened. There was no news reporting or anything down here.
No.
And so then the following week, we went to Lafayette, Louisiana, just south central Louisiana, and spent about a little over a month there in my wife's sister's house. And I had been approached by a neighborhood association right prior to Katrina that's in this area near our house that's it's a little pocket of poverty that's really, it's got a lot of social problems. And this neighborhood association had been planning ways of revitalizing their neighborhood for about 3 or 4 years and had decided they wanted to take this old school called Priestley School and reopen it as a charter high school focusing on construction. And I got excited about that because that was a real good way to get kids engaged in education because they could see the way to use their education and everything. So got really excited about working with them on Priestley. And then Katrina hit and the idea was 1,000 times better. We just had to do it. And so I started thinking about how we could go about doing that, and went to D.C. and met with some people in the Labor Department, and couldn't get a hold of anybody in New Orleans. But as I was able to, I brought in some friends that their organizations were able to help us and everything. So we ended up getting a charter for a new high school in October 2005 called the Priestley School of Architecture and Construction, which we founded and started. First class was September 2006, and we have seniors that are going to graduate now, so we're real happy about that. But the process of doing that, most of the people on our board had just lost everything they owned. Our principal and all of the teachers had been in the Orleans Parish school system previously, and all of them had lost everything.
Yeah.
And yet they came back and started the school made it work. And we had in the kids had been scattered all over the country and moved several times. Some had been separated from their parents. You can imagine the trauma that all of them and their families had been through. And so it's really been a fascinating experience to have lived through that with all these people. But we weren't unique in starting a charter school. When we got our charter in October 2006, there were 20 charters issued that night. And we have probably the biggest experiment in education reform that's ever been undertaken going on in the city of New Orleans, because we've privatized the bulk of our schools and made them into charter schools. Right after we got our charter, the state took over all the low-performing schools in this new system, and so we have to have a dual system now, with some schools remaining under the old Orleans Parish School Board and others that are managed by the state, and so we have two systems to deal with. And And that's really complex. And so it's, there's, I'm not, you know, we have this big experiment going on, but it's also very arduous at times.
Sure.
But the big disappointment has been government at all levels. That we, you know, there's been, the blame game is going on, you know, it's like nothing's happening because of them, but they all say that, but nothing continues to happen. this is West End Boulevard. Now we're coming out, this we're going to go up, Lake Pontchartrain is at the end of this, and all these houses were, had 8 feet of water in them. A lot of them are being raised like this. These were, they were on the ground, you know, on the ground before on concrete slabs. All this area was developed, most of this area was developed in the 60s, and a lot of it originally was swampland, and they put some fill in, but they came out here and put the levees up, and then they started, they drained it and got it dry and started building on concrete slabs that are below sea level.
Yeah.
And you know, trusting the levees that the Corps of Engineers had built, and that turned out to be a big mistake. You've heard the levees broke, but you probably haven't heard that they broke in 52 different places. It's not like they were.
No, it's just a little.
It's not like one or two breaks. It's just they were really poorly constructed. And
so when had they been constructed?
Over time, over quite a time, I can't really say how long, but after Hurricane Betsy in 1965, 40 years ago, Lyndon Johnson came down, and there was a big flood down in the Lower Ninth area, which we're going to go to at the end of the tour. And he came down and promised that the levees would be rebuilt, and it was going to be a national commitment. And you know, they just never got funded. The way our Congress works is that when money is allocated for any particular purpose, it seems like a certain amount has to go to every congressional district, and there's no real big picture thinking. You know, this area has special needs. You know, a lot of people around the country are saying, you know, why should we rebuild a place like New Orleans when it's up below sea level? Well, if you took that logic, there wouldn't be any port cities. It wouldn't work. And, well, London's at risk too. I mean, it's any city that's up at sea level. If the oceans rise 10 feet, it's going to have some real problems. But if I start complaining too much about government, you know, stop me. But it's on our mind a lot.
Sure.
One of the people I called when I got back was Bill Jesse, who is the president of Goodwill Industries here. I've been on the Goodwill board since the early 80s and have been very involved with Goodwill Industries. And Bill has a condominium in one of these towers over here. And he was getting ready to evacuate, and then he went downstairs and he saw that there were a dozen firemen coming to his building to stay there during the storm because it was safe. I said, well, if they can stay here, I'll just stay with them. And the 17th Street Canal levee break was first spotted by one of those firemen up in the top of that building. And Bill is one of five people I know that, or five friends that I know that ended up going out rescuing people in houses and boats. He said these firemen were great at being firemen and rescuing people, but they didn't know how to drive a boat. So so he went out and he was the captain for the fire department, one of the fire department boats, and he was out going to houses out here and rescuing people for several days. And that's another good story. The fire department was out here rescuing people. Oops, I don't want to turn there, I want to go straight. Was out here rescuing people, and FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, told them they had to stop. And told them, it made them leave because there were reported incidents. Now these guys are out rescuing people in houses. They knew there were people in houses that they hadn't gone to yet, that they planned to go to, and they had to leave them because the federal government told them that they had to evacuate. And and they were furious. It was just really hard. But, this levee up here is the one that the big break. See the new levee from the bridge out, and the houses all along here were just washed off their foundations, and taken out.
That's all new development here.
Yeah, these, I think pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Here's going to be new, because this area was just a wasteland. It was just, here you can imagine a wall of water almost as tall as the top of that levee, just rushing through here, just all of us, you know, rush fast. But, so the houses were all just sticks and crumbled and pushed up against other houses. It was a real mess. And a major stretch of this thing just broke. And it was so poorly designed, just amazing. And then they started doing core samples of the dirt underneath. And the whole city was settled by the Mississippi River, and there's a lot of organic material underneath it. And it's mucky. It's like marsh. And they put these flimsy levees on top of this marsh, and
it's got undermined, presumably, by the
It was just horrible design.
Yeah.
But people are still trying to come back. So this is and this is a fairly wealthy part of town.
Okay.
And they're still struggling. And then some are still empty.
Building on and brick on. Put some foundations in, but it's still on.
Yeah, it's
very shaky ground, isn't it?
Yep, they are. This is the area that has rebounded pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
These houses had 10 feet to 11 feet of water. And when you get back a ways, the current wasn't so strong. You know, it's farther you get away from the break, but it's still, the water rose quickly. And, A lot of people got trapped in their houses, drowned. It's media portrayal. They don't. They always seem to focus on the worst devastated areas, and don't. I don't know the answer to it. How do you get a perspective that goes all the way across a city like this? Except to drive it and
and encourage people to tell their stories as locally as possible, but it, and let them know that it's important. It's important to tell your story. That your story isn't any less important just because somebody down the road had a more tragic or dramatic experience. What do I know?
But we've even like with Bev and I, we lost three trees and one little piece of shingle on our house. But the trees have luckily fell away from the house. If they fallen the other way, they would have wiped it out. But that's hurricane damage. That's from the wind, and that, you know, that doesn't faze us. But what the key concept is that we were guaranteed 40 years before it happened that we were going to have federal levee protection, and it was not forthcoming.
So one of the things that's obvious when you arrive in this town is the state of the roads. Is that...
They were pretty poor beforehand, but the amount of construction going on... Well, first off, the infrastructure, you learn these things after these kinds of events happen, but... sewage systems and water systems, have electrodes that are attached to them to keep them from rusting underground.
Okay.
They have a slight current going through them.
Right.
And, of course, the current was killed, and then the whole city was saturated with salt water.
Yeah.
So the entire infrastructure's rusted. Everything that flooded, most of the 80% of the city. And it really needs to be replaced. There's the kinds of investments that it would take to do that are just it's unfathomable to think about government doing it properly. But at the same time, you know, we're struggling trying to get money for rebuilding our schools down here. And it's been a real struggle. Nobody wants to fund school buildings. But at the same time, you read that our government is building 340 schools in Iraq. And a $1 billion embassy in Baghdad. And it kind of even radicalizes Republicans a little bit. You know, it's really hard to swallow. But you know, this part of town has bounced back pretty well. It's you know, been a long, hard road.
What's this area? What's this district called?
We're still in what's called Lakeview.
Lakeview.
It's
so we're quite close to Lake.
Still pretty close to Lake Pontchartrain.
Okay.
And we'll be kind of going through mid-city and down.
Why has this area bounced back? So
people have more.
Because people are
resources.
Wealthy. Or relatively wealthy.
Not wealthy so much, but you know, middle class enough so they had homeowners insurance that was adequate, and the combination of their insurance and their income levels and some government assistance, they've pretty much been able to come back.
Yeah.
You're going to meet Laura this evening. Laura's working with an organization called Laura9.org, and they're working with the people that owned their own homes, but in many cases, and we're going to be done in the Laura 9 theory, but in many cases, even though they owned them, their family bought the lot two or three generations ago and built the houses themselves, and they never could afford insurance, and they just owned the house. And so those people are getting maybe 30% of the value back on the with the house in cash from the government. But it's not adequate to do anything with it. So what her organization does is uses volunteers to do the construction. And the combination of the volunteer labor and the 30% of the value or whatever, they're able to buy the materials with that. And so they're down there rebuilding houses with using volunteers. And there's still tons of volunteers who are anxious to come down here and work. This is City Park, very big City Park, and the oak trees are pretty sturdy. They can survive the saltwater immersion, but a lot of other species of trees couldn't stand it. So there were thousands of trees out here that died because of the saltwater submersion.
So how long roughly?
About 3 weeks before the water was all pumped out. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, these old oaks, the key thing is that this area flooded before the levees were built. And some of these trees were flooded fairly often, just as a course of nature. So the levees being built, you know, they didn't flood for a while, but when they were flooded again, okay, because the oak trees can survive a flood every now and then. But the other stuff that was planted in here wasn't as sturdy, hardy. We're going to be coming back close to here when we come back for dinner, but I'll just keep running down this way to kind of give you. You can see this whole area from where we started over. West End Boulevard and 17th Creek Canal, this whole part of town was all under 8 to 10 feet of water. The level of the lake, this is slightly below sea level. I can't tell you, you know, in any one spot, but the lake went up 5 feet because of the storm surge that came in with the hurricane. So when the levees broke, it was 5 feet. The lake was 5 feet above sea level, and so that really aggravated the problem. That's why some of the houses might be 5 feet below, but had 10 feet of water for a while. See, and there's still a lot of empty stuff like this. Now we're going into an area that's not quite as wealthy, and you'll start seeing a lot more houses that haven't been worked on in 4.5 years.
So the big buildings over right over there to the right. That's the CBD, is it? Through we can see through that.
Yes, that's the central business. Yeah, okay. That's where we started.
Yeah.
What was that?